Jesus tells us in Matthew 26, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Luke tells us in Acts chapter 20, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of three years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." There's a warning, a watching that is being called for. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, watch, lest he fall." He also said in the 16th chapter, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." In Colossians 4, he said, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." There's a lot of warnings in Scripture. The Old Testament has several passages that give us warning as well for paying attention to the spiritual watchman. "I have set a watchman upon thy walls, O Jerusalem," Isaiah 62, "which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Also I set watchmen over you," in Jeremiah 6, saying, "Hearken to the sound of the trumpet." The sad part of that story is that it goes on to tell us that they responded, "We will not hearken." Ezra chapter 3 speaks about it. Hebrews in the New Testament speaks about a watchman or watching over your souls. Someone may be sitting there saying, "Well, preacher, I thought you said you were going to preach on diligence in watching tonight." I am. But as a preliminary to tonight's, watch. Some of you are aware that I held a funeral on Wednesday. Held the funeral of a man that I did not know, I've never met, didn't know the family. I'm guessing that none of you knew the family. I think the only reason why I was called was because of the contact with the funeral home. So they called me. "Would you mind doing this funeral?" There's two criteria for the preacher at this funeral. I've had that before. That's nothing new. One funeral, I was told that I had 2 minutes. 2 minutes only. I'll do my best to keep with that. Requirements that are given. I said, "Okay, tell me what those requirements are. I'll do my best to keep it." The two requirements for this funeral for me was, one, be brief. Number two, shed no tears. Doesn't that set you back? Be brief, I can understand that. But the thing about no tears really caused me some alarm. It's like, what in the world is going on with this family that they are requesting the preacher not to shed any tears? As if a preacher that doesn't know anything about the family could shed tears. I went in and met with the living remaining spouse, talked with her for a little bit, trying to get a feel for this man, trying to get an understanding. The only thing that she told me about him was that he was a good man. That's a lot to go on. I guess I can be brief. Visited for a little while and went back out to my truck. Sitting in my truck with my notes and my Bible, praying and asking God to give me some more clear direction as to what I should say and as to what I should not say. I surely didn't want to say something that I shouldn't say. A man who had spoke to me inside the funeral home came out asked if he could get in the truck with me, and I welcomed him in. He said, "Do you think he was ready to go?" I said, "I don't have any idea." I said, "I have no understanding whatsoever of his background, of his life." He said, "Well, I'll tell you that he was a Nazarene preacher's son." Wow. He said, "Do you think that there's any possibility that he prayed a sinner's prayer while he was a kid?" I said, "Oh, I'm sure, surely that's a possibility, but what does that have to do with him now?" "Well, if he prayed it then you can give the family hope that he made it." I said, "Well, sir, I appreciate your desire here, but I don't feel like God wants me to give the family hope for him. They want me to give the family, he wants me to give the family hope for them." So come to find out that this deceased man, I'm going somewhere with this, hold steady. This deceased man was the son of an old-fashioned Nazarene preacher who walked away from home saying that he would never, ever return to the God of his father. Tired, done with church, he's going to go live his life. We see that occasionally, don't we? We see that occasionally. Something happens. Something takes place. And a person walks away. Well, then I had the opportunity just minutes before the service began to talk with the deceased man's son. And he began to share a little bit more of the history of the family. Not only was Grandpa a Nazarene preacher, well, he said a preacher. He said, "I don't even know what church he was from. I have no clue what church he preached in. He said, all I know is that he was a preacher." He said, "I don't remember him at all. I have no recollection of him. But," he said, "I do know that my grandma killed herself when I was 5 years old." The question that came to me immediately was, what kind of a life did this young man live in a preacher's home? We can mark that off. We can scratch out the word preacher. We can just simply say in a Christian's home. For him to say that he was tired of church, that he was sick of the way whatever was going in church, that he was going to walk away from it, and there must have been... I want to be careful because I don't know the details, and there's all sorts of things that can cause a person depressions that are brought on by Satan himself that can cause a person to take their life. I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want you to think I'm being judgmental. But it just seemed to me like there was something tragic in the circumstances of this man's life that I was fixing to have a funeral service for, where I was told to be brief and no tears. In sharing this with a fellow preacher friend of mine, he sent me an article. He sent me something to read, and it was an open letter by a preacher's kid. Again, we could probably scratch out the word preacher and we could call it Christian right here, but because that's not the case, let's just keep preacher there. And this was a preacher's kid. And this preacher's kid grew up in the midst of a religious environment that many people from the outside would have thought they longed to be a part of. Big name. Big name. But the trouble that this individual expressed, this feeling of bitterness, was very, very evident in reading this open letter to her father. Tragic. Tragic. You may be asking, Brother Ziegler, what's your point here? Where are you going? This is where I'm going. I'll get to it as quickly as I can, and you can go home. I've been reminded multiple times this week of the importance, the vitality, the seriousness of us having a burden for our kids, for our families, for our church, to the point that we, as I've mentioned numerous times in the last couple of months, that we have an earnest desire for an encounter with God. Because we have an enemy, an adversary, that's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He called Peter and said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you. Satan has put a target on your back, and he's shooting at you, trying to destroy you. Not only you, but everybody else that calls themselves by the name of Christ. Calls themselves a Christian. And he will do everything that he can to destroy. He will take minuscule things and make them majors. And anywhere in between. We must have God's presence more than anything else. This young group, these kids that were here filing in front of us today, and these young people that were up here singing today, they all look good. They all look wonderful. We're blessed. The enemy has just begun working on them. He has really just begun setting his sights on them. And sometimes, for us adults, the thing that trips up a young person, we may think is ridiculous. It may be so simple. It may be something so cheap. But it's real. It's real to them. God wants to do something for our kids and for our young people to establish them with a stability that they will never be able to get away from. And they will not have that without a personal encounter with God. Watch. Diligence in following, diligence in watching, and there's so many warnings in Scripture that bear it out for us to pay attention, to be careful, to be watchful, not only here at church, but at home. At home. So vital, so necessary. And if you're like me, you've made mistakes. If you're like me, you still make mistakes. What do when we make mistakes? We cover it up and go on? We dare not. I had to make something right this week at Youth Challenge that took place a couple of years ago. Tried sort of half-hearted to make it right by way of phone call, and just could never get through, never made several calls, could never get through to the people to make it right. They were at Youth Challenge in person. And I knew, I had a sneaky suspicion that they were going to be there, and I felt God saying, now's your time. And so sure enough, when I got to Youth Challenge, and there they were, it was immediately this voice saying, there you go. But I wanted all three of them together at the same time, if at all possible. You know, Youth Challenge, that just isn't possible very much. Finally, I just said, you know, I've got to get this taken care of. And I went to the one and got the eye of another one and motioned that one over. And before long, the third one came too. You know, it's just not worth it. Make it right the best we can. Follow peace. Oh my, I preached to myself there, wasn't I? Told you I was. Diligence in following, diligence in watching. Are we diligent? I mean, are we really diligent? because that's what it's going to take. That's what Scripture bears out for us. We must be so diligent to follow after Christ. I'm not talking about something that we feel all in bondage, and because of that bondage we can't have any enjoyment or any fun, or we can't have any happiness. No, I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about following Him to the point where He frees us from the bondage. And we do have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Let's stand together this morning.